They were like the Latina Spice Girls. They were killing it. They were... yeah. You had paprika and horchata and chili pepper and jalapeno. It's good to be here. I love it. Look around the church. We got the United Nations and Victory Outreach. Look around. That's a little bit of heaven right there. That's what heaven's going to look like. All the tribes of the world before the throne of God speaking Spanish. It's going to be beautiful. Come on, he named his son Jesus. That one's in the book. You can look it up. He didn't name him Jeffrey. He didn't name him Jamil. He named him Jesus. Oh, there's a lot of Mexicans in the Bible. They don't teach this most Sundays. You got to read between the lines. Moses? Mexican. Come on, who else get a bunch of people across a river into the promised land? That's my people. That's my people. See the churchy people looking up their concordance. I don't see that in my Bible. King David, Mexican. Only a 5-foot Mexican could look at a 9-foot giant and go, I could take him. Saw the short guys stick out their chest. That's right. Abraham, he was Mexican. Come on, his wife got pregnant when he was 100. <That's> Hey, I didn't write that joke. That's in the New Old Testament, right? I didn't make that up. Peter is standing next to Jesus when they come to arrest Jesus. Jesus could have called on angels to rescue him, but what's Peter do? He pulls out a shank and cuts the guard. That's Puerto Rican. That's a whole nother level right there. Some people think Noah was Mexican. Noah was definitely a white brother to take care of all the animals the way he did. That's if Noah had been Mexican, that story would have ended tragically different. The rain stops, the water recedes, the ark opens up, and Noah steps off with some leather boots. The Lord is like, Noah, where are the cows? Would you like a taco? God is good, amen. How many of you know, some of you get churchy, you're like, why is he joking on the pulpit? But laughter is good medicine. That's what the word of God says, amen. So, before I got saved, I never dreamt I could tell jokes at a church. I never even smiled when I was in the club because my teeth are crooked. Now, don't come look at me after, but like, oh. My teeth are so crooked, Jesus asked me to forgive him. He's like, my bad, dog. I'm going to hook them up in heaven. That's what the word says. Our bodies are healed. We're perfected in heaven. Pastor, when you get to heaven, don't you want to look in the mirror and go, God is good? Come on, walk out your faith for the people. Walk out your faith. Book of Job says, I will fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with rejoicing. So if you don't get my jokes, you're not hurting my feelings. You are disobeying the word of God. No pressure. Things have been going good. I'm blessed. Comedy is a young man's game, and yet I have never been busier in my life. And that's all because of the Lord. I have no doubt in my life about it. I shot a comedy special in 2017 on Dry Bar Comedy. Dry Bar is run by the Mormons. So that's like Dry Bar. So they have like a little mini theater with no alcohol. So they call it Dry Bar. And I had to shoot it up in Utah. all Mormon audience, pretty much. I never forget, because he shoot two shows for your special. One show had a Mexican couple and a black couple, and everyone else was snow white Mormons. And then the second show had one Mexican. So it was just, that was like, I'm like, my God, I am out of my water. But the Lord has blessed that special. It had like 500,000 views on their streaming service. It was, you know, pretty good. But they'd send me, they've been wonderful to me. They send you a quarterly report letting you know how your special's doing. Because the agreement was that once they broke even, then 60% of the profit goes back to the talent. So they send you a report at 500,000 views. But in September, I prayed. I said, Lord, I need favor. I need doors opened up. I asked them to re-release the clips on social media. And on September 20th at 4 o'clock, I'll never forget, they sent me a message. We put some clips back up. You know, that by the end of that hour, there was 1 million views. The end of the month, there was 39 million views. You know. So that's all the hand of God right there. The special has hit 50 million views, and it's just been a blessing where I'm booked all across the country now. I'm a California guy. I go around California, but I'm going to Ohio next month to a church. No, in we're April, so May, June. And God will test you with your faithfulness. This church called, and they said, we'd like you to come out to our little, we're having a carnival, and then we're going to have a comedy night, and we'd like you to come. I said, sure. She said, how much? I said, well, I'll work with your budget. She said, we have 80 members. And I'll never forget, in the back of my mind, I was like, they can't afford to fly me, much less bless me with an offering. But something, my pastor had a line about how come we refer to God as something. But something told me to say yes. The Lord said, say yes. And he tested me. So I said, yes, I'll come for a love offering. So I'm going to Ohio for a love offering for two services, a comedy night and then Sunday morning. See, but when I said yes, a couple hours later, a 14,000 member church called me. Wow. Yeah, they're going to pay rent for a couple of months for me. See, when you say yes to the Lord, he takes care of everything. We cannot outgive the Lord, you know. But, so, God, I'm just bragging on God. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging about how good God is, man. He's blessed. I do a joke about my marriage, but God has restored the love of my life. My first marriage, we were divorced 7 years in. How many of you know, that's almost like a stereotype in the Latino and black community. Get out of high school, get married, get divorced. And I lived what I called the Mexican dream. I got married, had kids, got divorced. But 23 years later, the Lord restored us, and she has just been a blessing in my life, you know. Pray for her, because I get on her last nerve. No, but she loves the Lord. She is actually at a family reunion in Alabama. I don't know how they ended up in Alabama. They're from Hawaii. They're a Puerto Rican family from Hawaii, and they're all in Alabama now. She said, you want to go? I was like, no, you're in Alabama. You have this reunion in Hawaii. I'm there. I'll hook up with VO Hawaii. And you know, there's Victory Outreach in Hawaii. And that brother, what's his name? Pastor Tony. I was able to minister at his church. And then we went to lunch. And he was just testifying. He said, when the Lord sent me to the mission field, I was like, hold up, bro. You're in Hawaii. This is not, I mean, I know, no, but he's in the hood of Hawaii. He's got Samoans and Micronesians. You know, my from Micronesia, they're like little Oompa Loompas. They're these little people like this, and they laugh like that. But I got to minister to them, and I never forget. I wrote a joke when I was ministering to the Micronesians. I said, how do you say hi to a Micronesian? You give them a microwave. That was fresh bread for Hawaii right there. I have ADD. That ain't part of my sermon yet, so whatever comes to my head. How you doing, bro? Are you taking pictures? Are you recording? Because you keep pointing at me. I wasn't always saved, and I got nervous. I still got child support issues. All right. I wish that was a joke. I've lost 30 pounds in the last 18 months. Yeah. Doctor's orders, the first time in my life I failed a physical. And I'm thinking I'm like in my 20s or my 30s, and I recently turned 40 10 years ago. And so the doctor told me I needed to lose weight. I was thinking I'll just go running. I said, I'll do some road work. He said, man, with your blood pressure, you will have a heart attack. He said, I want you to start slow. Start with 25 crunches a day. I was like, man, that's a lot of chocolate. I got up to 13 bars a day, man. I was killing it. Some of you weren't that impressed when I said I lost 30 pounds because you're like, well, he's a little Mexican. No, you got to understand, I'm the runt of a big family. My mom was the oldest of 9, my grandfather the oldest of 12, and my grandmother the oldest of 11. That's just my mom's branch. Huge family. And I'm the littlest person in the family. I went to Berkeley High. My freshman year, I was 5'2" and I weighed 75 pounds. I was the runt of Berkeley High. I got teased my whole life about being small, but I always had this size head. It kind of looks normal now, I hope. But when I was little, I looked like a bobblehead. Everywhere I went, people thought I was East Indian because I was like, oh my God. My uncle, you know, in a Latino family, whatever's wrong with you, that's what I was called, head man, throughout my whole childhood by my uncles. Then I went to elementary school, and I thought, okay, finally, I'm going to get some friends that won't tease me. No one wanted to play with me at recess. I was like, I want to race you. And they're like, no, you're going to get a head start. I hated Jack in the Box growing up. That's all I'm saying. Every time a Jack in the Box commercial came on, my family would go, there's your real dad. I'm like, you're my real dad, Dad. But God has been opening doors. I got to do 24 shows for the Air Force, and that was a big blessing right there. I'm an Air Force veteran, so to go back and perform for the troops was a big honor. Any military veterans here today? What branch, brother? Army. Oh, he was in the real. Give him a round of applause, Army. I was in the Air Force. I was this close to being in the military. You don't realize how tough you aren't until you get out of the Air Force. I was in there for 20 years, and I got out, and I went to take my physical, and I never forget. I see an Army soldier limp by, an older Army brother. He goes, Vietnam took a bullet. I see an older Marine limp by. He goes, Gulf War, shrapnel. I'm standing there with a wrist brace. But I still wanted to act macho. I was like, U.S. Air Force, carpal tunnel. Email 05. So performing for the troops was a blessing. The first base the Air Force sent me to was in Laughlin, Texas. That's a border town. And they said I could land in San Antonio and drive 6 hours, or I could fly into Mexico. There's an airport right near the border. 30 minutes later, I could be at the base. I was like, oh, I know a setup when I see one. I know who won the election. You ain't getting rid of me that easy. So we drove 6 hours. And an hour away from the base. Keep in mind, we never left Texas. We never entered Mexico. But an hour away from the base, we get pulled over at a roaming immigration checkpoint. How many know we have checkpoints now? The immigration checkpoints pop up in inner cities, and in Texas, they pop up on the highway. So we saw the signs, ICE checkpoints. So we pull over, and two other comedians with me. I said, be cool, I got this. I roll the window down, and the immigration officer says, excuse me? Or Jewess CD sing. Or Jewess CD sing. How are Jew gonna ask me that? Then we went to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we happened to be there during the Hot Air Balloon Festival. That's the largest hot air balloon festival in the world. It's amazing to see all these balloons. But we're at the Air Force Base, which is on the outskirts of town, and they're giving us the VIP treatment. The other comedian that was with me, he was from Saturday Night Live, so they were giving us like the celebrity treatment, giving us a tour of the flight line and everything. But they warned us, no pictures. We got top secret aircraft on the flight line, no pictures. But hot air balloons were floating over the base. And I was like, hey, no pictures. The day we were there, two balloons accidentally landed on the base. That's a federal offense. Entering a military installation without approval is a federal offense. But these are rich people. Nobody got arrested. They just escorted them off the base. I witnessed this and got on the phone. I called my uncle in Mexico. I was like, Theo, there's a new way to get in. And they can't build a wall big enough for this one. That'll make the president mad. What do you mean they're floating over the wall? I'm not left wing, I'm not right wing, I'm chicken wing, all right? So our job as believers, whether we believe in their policies or not, is to pray for those appointed above us. So we need to pray for Congress, for all them up there, because especially the California politicians, because wow, God has been good though. Laughter is good medicine, but it's the word that heals us, amen? So I want to get into the word, because I do comedy wherever I go, but I'm usually just itching to get to the word, because I'm excited with what God has done in my life. Amen. I never thought I would be to the point where I get to share the word of God. I went to Bible school for 4 years, and I'm still 2 years away from an associate's degree. I don't know how. I wish that was a joke, but I did that joke in front of the school president a couple of weeks ago in Sacramento, and he sent me a text a couple of days later. He's like, brother, we need to help wrap up your degree. He don't want me making fun of the school anymore. Today I want to talk to you and share with you what's on my heart. Every year I get to go to Victory Outreach the first Sunday of football season. I get to go to VO South Sac with Pastor Eddie Caraveo up there, and he does NFL kickoff, but it's Never Forget the Legacy. So when he had me back this past September, I was like, well, we've talked about VO legacy. We talked about our spiritual legacy every year now, so let's do something different. So I kept it with the sports theme, MVP, but we're not talking about the most valuable player, because everybody knows who the most valuable player in our walk is. It's Jesus. But I want to talk about our it's called My Victorious Praise. How many of you know there's victory in our praise? Amen. Come on back. Don't walk out on your praise. Don't walk out on your victory, brother. He's like, I was here for the jokes. I had about enough of this. He's coming back. His stuff's there. Unless or he's walking faster. Check that backpack. That might not. It was one thing when he got up and creeped, but when he got to the back, he was. I was oh, man, that might be a bomb in that backpack. I have ADD, bro. My mind just. I was debating on what the Lord wanted me to share, and I prayed all week. I sent Pastor text me, reminded me about today, and I said, I've been praying, but I was debating on whether to share this word right here, but then the worship songs go right along with what I want to talk about. Amen? You heard Pastor say, God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen? But what stops us from praising? Because there are people here that aren't free to lift up their hands. You know, whether it's in our spiritual element where we lift up our hands to God, or whether it's on the streets when you lift your hands up because you're going away. You know, they raise your hands. Lifting up your hands is an act of surrender, amen? But we see people without that freedom. And I thought about what stops us from that freedom to praise God. And I've been there. Feeling I'm not worthy, but guess what? That's one of the few times the devil ever, if ever, tells a little bit of the truth. When the devil's popping you upside the head saying you're not worthy, on your own merit, he's right. But he doesn't understand our identity, amen? Our worthiness is not based on who we are, it's based on whose we are, amen? When Jesus was asked, what does it take to follow you? And he replied, in order for somebody to follow me, you must pick up your cross. Daily, you must pick up your cross. What I love about that, and it's always taught about denial, because Jesus says you must deny yourself and pick up your cross. But what I like about that scripture is that he doesn't say when you get your act together, follow me. When you're perfect, follow me. When you can walk on water or heal the blind and raise the dead, follow me. He said, just as you are with your cross, and I interpret that as with your issues in life. Who has an issue in life? Everybody has that issue where you think, if I didn't deal with this issue right here, I could be the man or woman that God wants me to be. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, just as you are, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. So based on who we are in Christ, you're worthy to praise God, because he's always worthy to be praised. Amen. We have people that have been hurt. Who's been hurt before? Who's made some bad decisions? Well, I got to raise two hands. I always said, I got to raise two. I got to shake my legs on that one. There you go, brother. We use that as a reason to justify not worshiping God, not praising God. When you've been hurt, you have two choices. Either you choose to have an excuse or you choose to have a reason. You're hurt. Your bad decision, the bad blow life sent you, could be an excuse to justify your condition, to justify your addiction, to justify needing a drink or smoking that blunt, to have your bad temper. Or that area that you got hurt in, whether it was your own bad decision or just a bad blow in life, could be the reason, could be the catalyst to draw you closer to God. It's up to you to choose which path you want to go on. But I tell you right now, when you surrender your hurts and you surrender your bad decisions to God, God opens up his arms and gives you a big hug, and he's there with you. People ask me and my wife, how could you guys reconcile after 23 years? We had a simple decision. We chose to surrender our past to the Lord. You can choose to stay angry. You could choose to stay hurt. Or you could choose to surrender your hurt. And when you trade in your hurt, it becomes a scar. And when you have a scar, you could use it for God's glory. You could say, I know I was hurt. I have the scar to prove it. But look, I gave it to God. He healed my life. He restored me. God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalms 22:3. Let's take a look at that. I have been enjoying the. Have you gotten into the Passion Translation yet? It's a newer translation, and I ran it through my pastor, Dr. West, and he loves it. It meets the standards, but it's a wonderful modern translation. And I'm enjoying it, and I bounce the scriptures off each other, from the King James to the New King James to the NIV, and then I look at it in the Passion, and I love how it says, Psalms 22:3, yet I know that you are most holy. It's undisputable. You are God, enthroned, surrounded with songs, living among the shouts of praises of your princely people. See, God, He loves when we worship him. He comes into that. We don't go into his presence. He comes into our presence when we worship him. Amen? All right, two people got that. All right. To God, praise is a vehicle of faith which takes us into his presence and power. It's not the opposite. Some people think when they get the right emotions, when everything's feeling good, then I'll praise God. No, you want that feeling of God's presence? Worship him. In good and in bad, you worship him. And you see him show up because he's true to his word. He's a promise-keeping God. His word says when you praise him, he shows up. Amen? I want to dance like David. And I looked at that. I'm sad. I'm Mexican and Puerto Rican. I got two left feet. I got ripped off. Yeah. I'm a chair dancer, though. If I sit in a chair, I can move my feet good or I can move my arms good. But if I move all four, I don't have that coordination. So, but I want to dance like David because I looked at that story of David coming into the city of David with the Ark of God. And then some people try to say he was naked. No, he stripped himself of his royal garments. He danced in an ephod, a linen garment. He danced like before. He wasn't dancing as shepherd boy before God. He wasn't dancing as warrior that killed the giant before God. He wasn't dancing as king of Israel before God. He was dancing as child before his father. He wanted God. He was dancing. He was a one-man dance. He wanted to dance for the Lord and the Lord alone. Amen. We have to have that same mentality. Be willing to strip ourselves of not only our titles, because I'm sure in today we have people that have considered, you know, professional degrees, whether it's real estate or investments or janitors or working at a fast food. We have the whole range here. But are you willing to strip not only your title? Are you willing to strip yourself of your hurts? Are you willing to strip yourself of everything that would separate you from praising God to say, I'm going to dance before my God. I'm going to give him my all. I'm going to praise God for who he is and for who I am in him. It's a different sermon, but I always got to say this. Paul wrote 160 times in him, in Christ, in the Lord. That should tell you how important the Holy Spirit thought it was for us to understand whose we are in Christ. Amen. At least you got a little more excited than that. Whose we are in Christ. You're going to make me pull out another scripture. Ephesians 1:3 said, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. And I would preach that scripture, and then the Holy Spirit told me to study it a little more. So I broke it down, and I was like, why does it have blessed, and blessing in one scripture? That's a little bit redundant. But you got to read things from the original language to truly understand them. So when I broke it down in the Greek, the first blessing, Paul was saying, oh, how adorable the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is, who has blessed us. The second blessed, that's the traditional meaning of blessed. The sister blessed me with a bottle of water when I got here this morning. But then that last one, blessing, that is rarely used in Greek. It was reserved in Hebrew for what the children of God said about God. It was eloquent speech, high praise, reserved only for when they praised God. Yet Paul in this scripture is breaking it down and saying every spiritual blessing. He's saying everything that God says about Jesus, he says about you, he says about me. Man, when I did that study, I had myself a Pentecostal shout across my living room. I'm glad I was home alone to think that God loves me, God adores me. He sees me righteous. He sees me sanctified. That right there should get somebody excited, man. You get your identity shifted from what you see in the mirror to what God sees, all right? Stop looking at that Instagram filter and use the Jesus filter. Come on, somebody. You got to know who you are in Christ. that same scripture in the Passion Translation, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. Man, that's a game changer right there. If anybody here today is struggling with identity issues or struggling with their spiritual walk, understand your identity is not based on what your record says, what your college education says, what your lack of education says, what the California Penal Code says. None of that. I'm at VO. I got to keep it real, okay? Come on. I'm the son of a convict, man. I'm saved by grace, all right? So I got to keep it real. You are not who the court says you are. You are who God says you are, all right? My dad was a heroin addict that sold to undercover agents back in the 50s. Now, a Mexican selling drugs to an undercover agent back in the 50s, they throw away the key. This is before they prosecuted juveniles as adults. My dad was a thug. He retired a cop because the cop tried to whoop him, and my dad stomped him into the ground and retired him. But he was only 16, so they had to give him just a couple of years. He went in and out of prison from 11 to his early 20s. But the last time he was arrested, it was on Mother's Day. That's what that Mother's Day service is important. Moms, don't give up on your children. Do not give up on your children. My grandmother would catch a bus. There was no Uber. She would catch a bus to go all over California, whatever prison that my dad was locked up in. And she would go see him, and she would take him a prayer hanky. She would put some holy oil on a hanky and give it to him and put it. My dad, I'm not saying he was a little bit bad. She would bring him a new Bible every time because she knew that he tore the pages from his Bibles to make cigarettes. But on Mother's Day, he heard a sermon. ¿Por qué? Why? Why were you living the way you were living? It was on the Saturday before Mother's Day, a tent service in Oakland. The next day, he gets arrested. He's laying in jail. He's high on heroin, and all he could think of was why. And he cried out to God, change me. There was no 12-step program. There was no heroin withdrawals. He was instantly delivered from addiction. He went on to preach the gospel for 40 years. Governor Jerry Brown's father was a Superior Court judge. He expunged my dad's record. My dad died as a clean man. My dad died when he had served his time for the Lord with no record. That was the proudest thing of his life, was that the Lord had restored him. I'm not that smart to just read and tell you what I read. I like telling you what I've lived and what I've seen. People didn't know who my dad was. They just knew him as a loving pastor. They didn't know the thug that he was. And I'm glad I didn't know the thug that he was. But I know that he was a man that was changed. He understood who he was in Christ. And I want to encourage everybody here today. You're not who you're holding on to. You're not that hurt. You're not that bad decision. There are sisters here, and I would pray not, but there's more than statistics say that there's somebody in here that's still angry at themselves for having an abortion. God forgives you. God wants to restore you when you give that hurt to him. And he does it with a selfish, jealous reason, because he wants your praise. He wants to heal you because he wants that intimate relationship. Whether it's Sunday morning at church or Monday when you're at home alone and you're worshiping, he wants to come into your presence because you invite him in. Amen. But it takes a willingness to surrender. It takes a willingness to say, God, I'm going to give you my all. We used to sing that song, I Surrender All. But now we need to start singing, I Surrender Some. Because some people just want enough Jesus. They acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. They just don't want to go to hell. You're living a half-Christian life, because God will accept you if you accept him as Lord and Savior, his son. But why not live the Spirit-filled life that he has for you, where he wants to restore you? You got to be willing to give all those hurts, all those bad decisions, all those bad blows that you took in life. Because life can be cold-blooded sometimes. They took your car, bro. That's, I didn't even know. I could have picked you up for lunch and laughed with you about it, but no, that's right. You know, I was homeless 2.5 years ago. Thank God I have a sister that took me in, and she's like, the room is yours. I didn't have a home of my own, but obedience and surrender to God restored me and put me back on the path that he has for me. I'm telling you what I lived, not what I know, all right? And I still have churches that won't have me back. Because they, you know, you can't believe in spiritual warfare and not believe in wounded warriors. No, let me say that again. You cannot believe in spiritual warfare and not believe in wounded warriors. But we do a really good job when we see a brother or sister fall. We do a really good job trying to kill them instead of picking them up. You got to do, when you see a brother wounded, call him. Let him know you love him. Don't judge him. All right, he's struggling enough, all right? You got to stand in the gap for each other, all right? I love the story of Aaron and Hur. Not Aaron and him, Aaron and Hur. It's the story of when they went up against the Amalekites, and Moses was told, as long as your hands are raised, there'll be victory. So Moses sits, stands on the hillside, and Joshua is fighting with the men against the Amalekites, and as long as Moses' hands are raised, and apply that today, as long as our hands, as long as we're worshiping, there's victory. Yeah. But when Moses got tired and his hands dropped, what happened? Joshua and his men start losing. So Aaron and Hur put a stone beneath him where he could sit, and they held his hands up. Sometimes when you see your brother or your sister struggling, let them know, you know what? I'm going to take some time out of my worship to worship for you. I'm going to hold you up. You know? That's what, there's been times where I've reached out to somebody in the hospital, and I said, well, you're going through this procedure. I'm going to worship for you. It's based on a biblical principle. We need to do that for each other, all right? Not just the men's home and the future woman's home, which is coming soon, Pastor. Not just them. You got to be praying for them and men in the men's home. You got to be praying for your pastor. You got to be praying for the brothers and sisters. Because the work God's doing in your life, believe where you're going to be, all right? You're not just going to be in the men's home all your life, all right? My brother right here, you're going to have a family soon. You're going to have a family. You're going to have a wife. I don't know if you've had a wife before, but God's going to restore you to where you want to be, okay? You're not going to be in the men's home forever. This is a season where he's preparing you for your destiny, all right? I speak that in the name of Jesus, all right? But you got to be willing to hold each other up, and that's what praise. My mom gave a great example on her deathbed. My mom knew who she was. She had no identity crisis. And then 36 hours before she died, her brothers and sisters were around, and they used to have a choir that traveled, the family choir. It was all cousins and my mom's 9 brothers and sisters. Well, the remaining siblings are there with her. My uncle's on the piano. My mom was too weak to sit up on her own. She was dying of liver cancer. But she sat up on the edge of the bed. They held her up. My aunt held one hand for her. My cousin held the other hand for her. My mom sat there and worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She knew who she was. She spoke in her heavenly language as they sang those old church songs for her. See, in the middle of the storm, she worshiped. She received her call home. She had one prayer. If you're not going to heal me, take me. And then she said, I don't want to be drugged up. I want to have my mind until I go. And they, it's on hospice care. They give you the what they call the comfort package. That's the package to take them out. It's the heavy dose of drugs. Somehow, it never showed up. I'll never forget my sister. My sister is, she's like a detective for the Gap. She's this, the vice. No, she is. She's like in charge of international logistics and loss prevention. She's the first female and first minority to make vice president for the Gap. If she comes to visit you, you're losing your job. No, she goes around the world to solve situations for the Gap because they have, you know, they do manufacturing in China, manufacturing in India. So she travels all around the world for the Gap. She was on the phone with the doctors, letting them know what she was going to do with them with her lawyer if they didn't bring some comfort to my mom. This was the last day, the last 3 hours. At midnight, they said, we'll have it there at 3 a.m. At 3 a.m., my mom went to be with the Lord. At 3:15, there was a knock on the door, and it was the delivery company with the heavy dose of morphine. And we said, we don't need it. It's too late. And I had prayed, I had worshiped, my mom had worshiped. We all were a believing family. And I remember I had went to be by myself, and I asked God, what are you doing when she was suffering? She trusted you. What are you doing? You keep it real with God, he could keep it real with you, okay? Don't put on airs when you talk to God. He's got caller ID. He knows who you are, all right? Then don't act like you can't tell him when you're hurt, all right? He could take your little pity feelings, all right? He took the whole hurt of the world on the cross. He could take your feelings, all right? About a half hour later, I'm sitting there, and we're talking around the table. My mom's body is still laying there. We're waiting for the morning to have her taken away, and families all around us. And in jest, I said, The doggone hospice people didn't even get here on time. And the Holy Spirit said, I had this all along. See, he answered a faithful believer's last prayer. I don't want those drugs in my body. She worshiped through her call. She worshiped on that death call where she knew she was going home. She worshiped and God honored her prayers. When you worship, I don't care if you got a terminal illness or you're just happy to be alive, whatever your situation is, when you worship God, he is faithful to show up, all right? A worship team, where are the Spice Girls? Get back up here. Come on, jalapeña, horchata, paprika. It's okay to laugh, even when we're about to see some lives changed. I believe that in the name of Jesus, all right? We're going to come up to the altar, and we're going to worship, because the altar is a beautiful place to worship. It used to be a bloody, ugly, gory place, but because the finished work of the cross, now we come to the altar to worship, and we come to the altar to surrender. If you're here today, you say, Dennis, I have these things, every head bowed, every eye closed. I have these things that are robbing me from that intimate time with God. I have these bad decisions, these hurts, these poor